Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show. This is Joanne White, and I am so thrilled today because this is something that's so after my own heart, energy and energy medicine. And if we were to sum up this show today, it would be everything is energy. And the two guests that I'm having today on the show believe that as much as I do. I remember about 20 years ago when I was actually a practitioner in Reiki and other energies. I was going around, I'm in New Jersey, and I was going around doing guest lectures on what energy was about, and everybody was sort of, not everybody, but a lot of people were scratching their heads and like, what's energy? What's that? What's Reiki? And so I'm so glad that the message is getting out. We had the film and a book on The Secret, which has also sent that message out to a lot more people. But my first guest, Donna Eden, has been somebody that has really got the message out in a very big, wonderful way. For more than three decades, Donna Eden has been teaching people how to work with the body's energy systems to reclaim their health and their vitality. She's among the world's most sought-after authoritative spokespersons for energy medicine, and Donna's abilities as a healer are legendary. She has taught more than 80,000 people worldwide, both lay people and professionals, how to understand the body as an energy system. And so we're really blessed to have her today. Able from childhood to clairvoyantly see the body's subtle energies, she teaches people who do not see them how to work with them joyfully and effectively. And her health book, Energy Medicine, is a bestseller that's been translated into a dozen languages. Her latest book, Energy Medicine for Women, is also one that has won awards, and we'll talk about that a little bit too. Donna has taught hundreds of self-empowering alternative health workshops throughout the world. And as a healer, she has treated over 10,000 clients. She's widely referenced in the alternative health field, and many of her workshop attendees include physicians, nurses, and other mainstream health professionals. So without further ado, Donna is here, and I want to tell you, Donna, as I mentioned to you earlier, I've had so many people write in questions because that's how interested they are in finding out the answers from you. So we're going to save some time for that. How are you?
All right. Yes. Oh, I'm very good. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Great. So I want to start off a little bit because this your gift in terms of seeing energies goes back really to your childhood. And I often work with people who see energy and who experience seeing spirits or whatever, and at a very young age, they're very confused about it. So can you talk a little bit about that first experience when you were seeing energy and what that meant for you?
Oh, well, first of all, I was never confused about it until I was completely grown and had people puzzled by me. And my first husband wanted to commit me because he didn't want me to speak about that out loud to the world because they'll think I'm nuts. And so I didn't know until I was completely, I thought the entire world saw energy, and I don't remember a time when I didn't. And my deepest belief is that every human being on this planet sees energy and has far more sensory systems when you're born than later. By the time you're a year old, you know, if you haven't been, if it hasn't been validated in you, it tends to go dormant. And so it just didn't go dormant in me or my brother or my sister, who are in totally different fields, because my mother saw energy and just talked about it all the time. And so when I had my practice, I had a practice for 23 years, I used to tell pregnant couples, look, when that baby is born, keep talking about energy. Talk about the colors you see around him or her, and ask that baby, what do you see around me? Do you see purple? Do you just talk about it. And in that town, which is a small town, Ashland, Oregon, I've gotten to watch kids grow up still seeing energy. So if it's really validated, it can stay alive, and so can other senses. So I was never... Yes.
It's so important what you're saying, because oftentimes, whether it's parents or culture, they sort of snuff that experience out of children, even children that see spirits or talk to the dead or whatever. And that's something that you're validating, that's so important, and telling parents to do the same, I think that's essential. I have parents who've come in and said, you know, I can't believe what's happening. My child is talking about a past life, and I can't believe it, and yet my child doesn't sound like himself or herself when he's relaying that experience, so there has to be some truth to it.
It's absolutely true. I know my oldest daughter, she saw energy until she went to kindergarten, and she was really told that she shouldn't lie like that. So it's an interesting thing what's happened to people in our culture. But when I teach all over the world, and when I go to other cultures that are not so electronically connected as we are, that is what is common. People aren't surprised by it. It's just what is natural. They're surprised by somebody who doesn't see energy or feel it or know it in many different ways. And that is the main medicine in many other cultures. And, of course, energy medicine is the oldest medicine on Earth. I mean, that's what kept us alive as a species. Millions of years ago, people had to take care of themselves. They had to move their energies and touch themselves where they needed it. And so I always think that what I teach is helping people to tap back in to what is intrinsically theirs. I've never met anyone in my whole life who couldn't heal if they just suddenly found the way again. And so I'm really on a mission. I love this path of turning people on and empowering them to heal themselves, and in a world where most people cannot even afford to be healed. So we need this, and energy is free.
Right. And you know what?
Learning tools and techniques, yes.
Right, and you're so right into that it's such a way into understanding ourselves and into self-healing, and oftentimes people rely on physicians, and I'm not knocking physicians, but rely on physicians to sort of be kind of their God in terms of seeing what's wrong with them, when what you're teaching is to be able to look at oneself and be able to access that information and help them heal.
Absolutely.
I have a question about, do you think of yourself as a medical intuitive?
Well, it's a name I don't like to give myself, but I certainly have been able to do what I've been called on. Normally, I like to, the main thing is I like to stand in front of somebody and just watch their energy move, whether it's internally inside of them or externally. And I mean, that's my favorite way because it just takes me into their energetic experience, and you can see and feel where energy is blocked in the body and where their problems are. And then I want to tell people, what to do for themselves. I never in my entire life in my practice didn't send people away with the tools to keep themselves healthy or to go after a particular illness in their body, because I think the message has to be that people, first, yes, we need to help one another. That's number one, but also there is so much you can do for yourself. And I have seen, well, I've heard also, and people who write me, just miracles. I've heard about people who just figured something out when reading my book, Energy Medicine, how to do something for themselves, and they got themselves well without anybody else doing it for them. And so it's my goal to have everybody, not even having to come to me or come to classes, learn it, and you'll have tools for the rest of your life.
You know, I think that's wonderful, and I once heard that the greatest teacher is somebody that sees his or her students as surpassing him in terms of their gifts and talents.
Oh,
so you're one of those people.
Absolutely. I have teachers all the time who we have a certification program, and I get thrilled when I go and sit in on one of their classes and see them do something I never taught them, but they just... There is no end to the understanding of energy, but the moment you step into it, the understanding begins, so you don't feel perplexed. You feel, oh my, you know, what a miracle I am. What a miracle this world is. I mean, it makes you happier in life. It makes you know that you can handle not just what's wrong with you in your physical health, but also mentally, because whenever you shift energy in your body, you shift it in your mind also, and your mind gets clearer and clearer. And one of my great loves was years ago, before I went on the road, I would go in as a volunteer to school systems because they would never invite me. They would keep me on because they'd find out kids would learn better, were not so spun out and scared, and they had their confidence because there are so many energetic things you can do to help kids learn better and clear up their brains, and it's the most rewarding thing in the world to go into like a classroom where kids are supposed to be slower learners and have those kids in a period of time get out of that class because they weren't slow learners. They just, their energies had gotten scrambled and what I call homolateral, which means the energies aren't crossing over and hitting their mark as they need to. And so, it's a great reward to experience that.
And, you know, you have so much joy and enthusiasm as you're conveying this and also when you're teaching. So I think that's wonderful in terms of getting the message across. What do you mean by energy medicine is a way to evolve a person's body? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes, it is the best way to evolve the body. I don't know another way because energy is the life force, and it's an astounding, mind-blowing intelligence that already knows how to heal you and fuel you and restore you and repair you. However, we live in a world that is no longer in sync with natural energies in our environment. You know, it took us a couple of million years to get here, but we now live in a world that is no longer natural and we didn't evolve for. So suddenly, being out of sync, our body's energies don't know how to adapt to all the electromagnetic frequencies, all of the additives in our food, pollutants, and I'm afraid that the world isn't going to go backwards. We're not going to get to go backwards to a natural world, probably, so that we've got to teach our bodies to be able to adapt and live in this world. And we don't have another million years to get it together in. We've got to sort of prime that evolutionary pump and teach our bodies, get in so in sync with our energies that our body learns to adapt quickly to the environment. And I can promise you it works. I mean, I am somebody, I'm in this field for two main reasons, both of them for health, though. I mean, I was, you know, 35 years ago, I was dying, and I was told by five experts that three of them didn't give me more than a year to live because all my organs were breaking down. And the other two gave me a bit longer, but they still said, there's no way you're going to be able to turn this around. We don't know what to do with you. Well, I had multiple sclerosis, and I didn't walk for a couple of years. And so in some ways I thought that was the best thing that ever happened to me on that fifth doctor, because I thought, thank God Western medicine gave up on me. I'm just going to have to heal myself. And so that's really how I started using it as a medical way to move the energy. And I got myself walking. I got myself over allergies. I was allergic to everything under the sun except for red meat. Now, most people find that, why red meat? But red meat was a heavy protein that my body really needed to deal with, first of all, multiple sclerosis when nothing else was working. And I was allergic to things that grew out of the ground, and which probably went back to an early illness in that first week of life in my life. They said I probably burned off the ability to make these enzymes. So, I mean, I somehow was not depressed about this diagnosis of death. I instead that very day started working on my body and putting my hands. I actually started on putting my hands on my upper hip. It's kind of Reiki like, putting my hands on my upper hip, on my knees, and I noticed that it in about 3 minutes. I could feel and see the energy start to move, and that's the area of my legs that had no energy movement. And it just, and then I just started all over experimenting on my body until I was really healthy. And one of the shocks was, because I didn't plan to go after my allergies, I was trying to be able to heal my multiple sclerosis and strengthen my immune system so my organs wouldn't break down. But what happened was I lost 17 pounds in about 5 weeks with not changing my diet. And I realized that my metabolizer, which metabolized food, was getting stronger, and my allergies to wheats and grains disappeared. And it was like that. And so everything began to affect everything else. And so, yes, I evolved my body. And that's one of the things I see in my classes and in my studies. I try to teach people, you are not just healing yourself. You're going to make your body it won't be so, what is the word I'm thinking of? You won't be so vulnerable to the old illnesses. Maybe you get colds every year, or maybe you get flus every year, or maybe you've got a heart problem. Let's evolve your body so your heart is stronger and you will never die from your heart. You know, those sorts of things. And that's all I've seen. I've seen people who stick with it say, oh, my God, you know, I am. And they look younger. They start looking younger and younger and younger. I mean, I've got more vitality and energy and health than I did 35 years ago. I am really healthy.
You know, that's such an amazing story. And oftentimes many people, I have stories similar, many people find alternative medicine because they have some kind of illness or something that's going on with their bodies and with their systems that's breaking down, and they're not finding the solutions that they need. I want to talk a little bit. We have so little time, and this is a subject that we could spend hours on, but I want to talk a little bit about your new book and to answer some of the questions that people have emailed, and we have about 5 minutes to do it all. So Energy Medicine for Women was really one of very prestigious, and it won an award. And my question is, why did you feel the need to write a book specifically for women in terms of energy medicine, and how does it differ?
Well, because I had to figure out a whole set of new things when I started getting EMS. Like, oh my God, all the things that I I had learned about energy now was not working for premenstrual syndrome, and boy, did I have it. And so I first started figuring that out, and then I started applying it to my clients, and then I was getting women long before I went through menopause. I was getting women who were going through menopause, and I helped them with hot flashes, and it was just another way. It's just like sort of tweaking what I knew about energy and applying some things just for hormones, and then some things, many things got added to the energy medicine book for just how to help your hormones be in balance and how to activate hormones that have really gone dormant, that maybe Western medicine will say, well, you don't make that hormone anymore. It's gone. Forget it. Well, it's not often true. I mean, it's like women think they run out of estrogen. But if you can if you've got healthy adrenals, your adrenal will make estrogen all your life, all your life. So I don't take anything, you know, and I'm way past menopause, okay? I'm 68 years old. And
wow.
What the most amazing thing is that I really love being 68. I people tell me I don't look that age, but I think that's just because the energy is moved. But I also have more vitality. I teach 5-day classes and sometimes 9-day classes without stopping, because energy has given me that vitality. But again, it's not that things can't happen to me still. It's just that I now have all these tools and I can move it out or shift it. Something hit me, like in the 90s, I got hit with something I didn't know what it was, but it turned out, for lack of a better word, I got electromagnetics, and because I was being fried by electrical currents in every, and if anybody is sensitive to that, look in. I don't remember which chapter it is, but there's a chapter on that in my book. But I really figured that out. But you've got to build your aura up. It's got to get strong. Nothing else. I mean, it's like your aura has either holes in it or is not woven together tightly or woven close to you. But energy can come in. And so, you know, that's another one. Everything that I've ever come up against has been helped far better with energy than anything else. So back to the woman's book, it's mostly about hormones and how to really help yourself, and I give you a 5-minute routine in both energy medicine and energy medicine for women that can really help, like your hormones start staying more and more balanced. And so did that answer your question?
Yes, that's good. I want to switch gears a little bit. You're going to be in New Jersey, which is my hometown, Tuesday, October 25th. At the Wyndham Hotel, and for those people who are in the area, Philadelphia, Delaware, New Jersey, you could register for this event at energyeden.eventbrite.com. And I know that you're also doing a teleseminar. You and I thought it was in September, so you're going to go on Donna's website. Give people your website real quickly.
Yes, learnenergymedicine.com.
Okay, learnenergymedicine.com. I have so many questions for you, but I want to honor the people who were kind enough to write in questions. So are you ready for a couple
of
these?
Yeah, sure am. Yes.
Okay, good. This is a question from IC, and he's talking about K27 and what does it look like for you and what makes it so special and efficient. He said, I've tested it several times. And it's really in comparison. He wants to know why is it so special? And also, does a smoker's aura or an aura with somebody who has addictions, does that look different from an aura of a non-smoker somebody who's not?
Here we go. K27 means it's the 27th point on kidney meridian, and it's up underneath your collarbone, which I'm sure you know. And it is a junction point for all the meridians in the body. So if you're sort of having a day where you're walking around and you forget what you were going to do, or your brain isn't working so efficiently, or you're not feeling coordinated, then it literally is that your meridians have begun to go backwards. and you're walking against your own energies. K27, when you massage it deeply or tap it deeply, flips the energies around so that suddenly all your energies are going forward again, and you don't keep losing energy as the day goes on. So it's really important.
Good. Even acupuncture can release that. Sorry, I just want to make sure we answer these two other questions.
Yes.
Okay,
we have another one. Okay.
Go ahead.
Smoker's aura. I'll just say, yes, oh, my God. Everything looks very hazy in the aura. There's a lot of gray in the field. The lungs, you can see it very, very fast when somebody is a smoker. Yes.
Okay, good. This is someone who says that when she takes a shower or a bath or goes swimming, it seems that her energy is depleting and she needs a lot of recovery time. Is there something that you could recommend to help her?
Oh, wow. That's very interesting because a lot of people get revitalized by showers and water.
I wonder if it's the temperature of the water.
It could be the heat. You know, that the heat is too much, and that will zap people's energies. But if it isn't that, very simply, lay down on your bed and put one finger in your belly button and the other finger between your eyebrows on the third eye and push both up. Just really push up towards above your head and hold it for about a minute and take a deep breath. And then stretch your arms above your head and just take three deep breaths, stretching your body in both ways. That probably will revive you. I think that you ought to have somebody do an energy assessment on you. You know, if you've got anybody in your area, you could find that on our website too. Because that sounds like an element. You know, there are five elements that the Chinese talk about, and that the water is the energy that's meant to replenish you. Unless it's the heat, something else is going on, and maybe it's something from lungs and large intestines that isn't fueling it. But you can find that out from somebody who is a practitioner in your area, which you can find on our website.
Great. Now, here's another question. He's somebody who had a friend of his who has paresis, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, of the left leg. The energy doesn't go normally up to his leg. It's difficult for climbing. And the neurologist gave him no hope and said something about, and I don't know how to pronounce this, demineralization and no progress after 6 months of Kinito. Any kind of self-help suggestions to...
Okay, I'm going to tell you something, but this is without seeing his energy. I might add something or change... Okay, but he said it didn't come up into his leg at all. Is that right?
The energy does not normally go to his left leg, which he can flex 20%.
Okay. There's several things. I mean, you've got a lot of meridians on your leg. There's small intestine meridian. There's liver, kidney, and spleen that travel up, and gallbladder and large intestine. So, again, I would find somebody to find out which meridians are cutting it off. I would also, this sounds very simple, but I would go to the bottom of his feet and stretch lengthwise from the heel to the ball of the foot. Stretch it really hard and then pinch it in the middle very, very softly. Take a stainless steel spoon afterwards and spoon the feet. That sounds funny, but stainless steel really hooks to the nerves in the body. So if you don't know a lot about things, you can often get the energy just moving through the leg if you have spooned your feet, you know, with the round side after you have done that. But if I were him, I would also put my hands on my hips with my hands spread and just with real firm pressure move the energy all the way down the leg. Start finding where the energy is stuck, and I hope you'll find somebody who can tell you exactly which meridians. If you go in my book, you can experiment with sedating. There are sedating points, acupressure points you can hold. Sedating small intestine. Sometimes that opens the door. So you can try and find out. It won't hurt you. If it didn't work, it just doesn't work. But it's often the one that opens that door. Okay?
That's wonderful. And, you know, we could spend, like I said, we could spend so much. I had some of my own questions about saving the, you know, working with the planet and everything, but we are so out of time, and you are such a wonderful guest and are such a resource for information. So people, she's going to be here October 25th. Go to her website. You can actually ask questions on the website, find out information, also get in touch with energy practitioners in your area so that you can get help if you need to, and also teachers to help you teach yourself energy medicine so that you can use it. And Donna, Eden, we are out of time.
Okay, is there time to say something for 30 seconds?
Please do.
No? Okay.
Yes.
You can also just go to Donna Eden. Just put me in on the internet, and a lot of people have made little video clips on YouTube. So that might help people see different things, and that might be very helpful because people have put on techniques and all sorts of things there.
That's great. So the people that you've worked with and taught and have read your books,
yes,
and attended your seminars are becoming wonderful resources as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's because
of you
and the work that you've done spreading the word and spreading energy medicine. So thank you so much. You've been a great guest. And thanks for all that you do. You really do a wonderful job here.
Thank you very much. Well, I think you're wonderful.
Thanks. Have a blessed day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And in a few minutes, I'm going to introduce another guest who also believes that everything is energy. Hopefully, this is the guest.
Yeah, are you there?
Yeah, and I want to introduce you first, so because I wasn't sure that number you've been holding for a long time. This is Jarrett Hewitt, and he's a best-selling spiritual author and internationally known voice actor who empowers others by sharing his personal humor and insight. His newest book, Love, Life, God, The Journey of Creation, charts new territory with its conversational style of writing and with an in-depth explanation of how the law of attraction works, why it sometimes appears not to work, and how every subject in our lives relates back to one subject, and that is love. He's often made wonderful, hilarious exchanges in his book, and I looked at the book and read it, and we're going to talk about that in length, Jarrett. And it's a perfect book for seekers of any age. His co-authored book with Dee Wallace, the actress, is called The Big E, Everything is Energy, Unleashing the Power of Everyday Wisdom, shows you how to create anything you want by unleashing the power of your own energy. Jarrett is an ordained interfaith minister who holds doctorates in both divinity and metaphysics, and in 2005, he began working as a voice actor and has been the voice behind hundreds of television and radio commercials. He's also voiced major national and international campaigns for companies such as Coca-Cola, Anheuser-Busch, Jeep, Toshiba, and the Ad Council of America. Hello, Jarrett.
They sent you the full bio, didn't they?
Actually, I edited it and I played around with it, but I like everybody to know just the spectacular guests that are here and that are offering their time and their insight and their energy. So I think it's important to do that.
Well, I appreciate it. I want to, before I forget, I had some insight for the guy who had the stuck energy in his leg. Just quickly looking at his energy out in the field, and then I'll let you get to whatever you want. Where I went to was genetically, which would be what's affecting his body. It's his own reunion with the source within himself, and there's a belief going on there that's been passed down through the genes that I want to move forward, but I'm stuck, which is actually interesting because that's kind of the leg not wanting to move, and it just goes back to really making that forward movement that's the connection to the vastness of his own greater higher self. So
great.
For him out there, yeah, he can, you know, work with that vibration. But yeah, sorry, I wanted to get that out because it was like screaming at me as you guys were talking earlier. So I wanted to make sure I wrote that down so I wouldn't forget.
Well, that's great. And just like that was screaming out you, also, in terms of writing this book, you had a message that was screaming at you, too, that said, you will write, you will write. And I know exactly what that means. So can you tell us a little bit of the story behind the story, if you will?
Yeah, sure. Just like your last guest, I've, you know, been able to see energy for, you know, forever, since I was a little kid. But I kind of, not like her, was, you know, sort of, I grew up very religious, very orthodox, and sort of there were certain things that were okay and certain things that weren't. And most of what I did wasn't okay. It was okay to have dreams that came true. It was okay for things like that, but it wasn't okay to see energy or talk to the dead or see spirits or anything like that. So I kind of, you know, kept all of that inside. And I talk about in the book that, you know, I had spent about the last 10, 12 years really working with energy and teaching it and sort of come to this greater acceptance and opening of who I am and what the world is. But I literally was standing in Barnes & Noble. The full backstory is that it was after a Dave Matthews concert. We had gone out. We were at Chili's. The next morning we got up and we hit the Barnes & Noble on the way home. And I'm sitting in line with a couple of friends. And literally out of the blue, I just hear, you know, I was looking for a book and I couldn't find the book that I wanted. And I just heard, you will write. And I kind of turned around and said, what? And she said, I didn't say anything. And I said, I wasn't talking to you. She kind of, this is one of my friends who knew me well. And she goes, oh, you're having one of those moments, aren't you? And I said, yeah, you know, and then there's the voice again. And it was, you know, you will write. And I actually ended up buying a journal at the store that day. And I went home and I thought, okay, maybe I'm supposed to journal. And then I was sitting at the computer one day and sort of in walks this little group, you know, sort of a little group energy. And it was like, oh, I totally misread that. I thought you wanted me to start journaling. You meant there's actually like a book here to write. So that's sort of how the book began. And it kind of began, I was told, you know, you could do it this way or we can do it another way. There was information that wanted to come through. And I had never done like a channel before. I read people's energy. I did things like that. But I had never sort of opened up and just communicated really with my own higher self. Let alone sort of anything else in that particular way. And so I remember one day I was taking a nap and I had just gotten a dictation device and I was playing around with it and I kind of fell asleep while I was playing with it. And when I woke up, there were 45 minutes of recorded dialogue on it. And I went, what is this? And so I clicked it and it transcribed it out. And it was basically the introduction to the book. And I went, holy crap. And so at that point it was like, we can do it this way, or if you'd like to, you know, we can do it the way you're more familiar with, where you stay present and, you know, you can have your own input. And I said, yeah, I'd like to do that way. That way I can ask questions.
Right, and that's what I was going to say, because in the book it's a series of you asking questions and their response. And so I want to ask you some questions from looking at the book and that our listeners really would get a lot from. What do I call this group? I'm said your guides, but I don't know what to call them.
It's really the way I look at it is that, you know, we're all sort of, if you take a look at yourself as an individual expression of source energy, that we're all our own individual expressions of the same whole energy. So this is sort of as you, I'll just use the term ascension, even though I say in the book it's not like a ladder, you're not moving up to a process, but as you
yeah.
expand to that outer, it's sort of like the field of energy, you know, there's like solid matter isn't really solid, there's space in there. So if you look at the space that connects everything on that greater level of unity consciousness, we're all one, and this was just another experience of part of that one unity consciousness.
Okay, good. 'Cause they talk a lot about choice.
Yes.
And how we can create what we desire. So can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I think that's important. I was teaching a class last night, and everybody wants to know, like, okay, what's my life purpose, my soul purpose? How do I get to that place? So,
yeah.
And how do I create what I want?
Yes. Well, that's there. I actually was working with a client like this the other day. We were talking about some stuff. And I just sort of, as you know from reading the book, sometimes I just sort of am like, I don't want to deal with the minutiae anymore. It's like, cut to the chase. So I just said, look, if the world were going to end tomorrow and you knew that for a fact, you know, how much of what you're actually telling me right now is really going to affect your life? And it was kind of like one of those things where it was like, oh, you know, and I'm not belittling any kind of situation, because I know all of our stuff while we're in it is very, very serious. And then, you know, when you can get some distance from it, you kind of go, oh, that really was silly. but this is, wasn't her example, but this is the example I'll use. It was kind of like, well, I'd really like to go out, but I don't have anything to wear, but I really want, you know, the perfect mate, but I don't really feel great about myself today, so maybe I'm going to stay in and eat some ice cream instead of going out, because, you know, I'll go out next week. And we have all these, you know, we're like, oh, I'd like to lose 5 pounds before I go out and meet somebody, or all that stuff. But it's like, really, when it comes down to it, those are all just kind of little stories that we're telling. And if we really were push came to shove, a lot of what we have going on is kind of not really what's going on. You know, they're kind of excuses that we've made for our life. So when we come back to the choices, what you have to realize is you've always got a choice for everything. And the first choice you have to make is the choice to choose. So if you ever want to know something, you have to make the choice to be willing to go out and find the answer. It's kind of like, you know, seek and ye shall find. You have to make the choice to seek. But then once the answer is presented, you have to make the choice whether or not you're going to accept that answer. Now,
so
you
we
may...
put so much in our way, too, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we do.
Including myself here. So.
Oh, you read the book. I include myself, too. I got called out on all my stuff, and I was like, really? Maybe I should use a pen name when I write this book.
Well, you know, I was reading it, and I had this. I thought, oh, my God, look, there I am right there, because some of the questions were like my questions, and some of the things that you did were like me, too. And I thought,
yeah.
Oh, well.
That's what I find that with everybody. You know, I think it's funny how universal our stories are. I mean, they really are. And it's also funny how universal, you know, we all kind of handle it. And we all have some of the same ways of handling it, regardless of, you know, what our backgrounds are, where we come from. You know, and there's certain ways of once people sort of get out of their way, everything kind of tends to always resolve itself in the same way. So it's interesting to look at that from an energy standpoint. Everything kind of, you know, that's kind of the old saying of everything always works for good. It always works out the way it's supposed to. It's kind of like once you move out of the way, that flow comes in and sort of usually takes people to the correct destination in the form, you know, in so much as there's any, quote, correct destination, which actually is what you were asking me about a minute ago, about what is your purpose in life, right? I think I kind of...
Basically about how do we create what we want? How do we create what we desire?
Yeah, well, first of all, you have to look at, well, you don't have to, but look at what you're desiring, look at why you're desiring it. And usually what we desire because we think it will come with a feeling, an emotion, some kind of connection that we're wanting. For example, you know, if we want a mate, it's because we want to feel loved, we want to feel validated. If we want money, it's because we want security, and that security brings with it a feeling of safety, and when we're safe, we feel happy. So there's usually a feeling that comes with whatever it is we want. And so what I always tell people is to go, instead of, you know, going for the thing that they want, start with the feeling of what you want. And there's a thing with visualization that I've found a lot of people, myself included, have gotten to, where a lot of times we look at it, but while we're looking at it, what we're pulling up in our mind, what we're pulling up in our field is also all of the collapsed beliefs that we have about how to get the thing, why we can't have the thing, why we should have the thing, why we want the thing but we might not get the thing, how likely we are to get the thing. So that's why it's important to just sort of, you know, it's okay to do that, but shut that switch off in your mind that has all of the reasons and has all the stuff, and just really go for the feeling and concentrate on the feeling of what you want.
And not the feeling of not what you want, or the feeling of lack that's associated with everything that you've just been talking about, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of just shut it off. And it's almost like there's a little game that I tell people to play. And I got this from Jane Roberts in the Seth Speaks books. And it was one of the things that I found incredibly useful. Seth says, you know, for 10 seconds a day, just turn off all the beliefs that you have about life. And just feel what you would feel like if you had everything you wanted. And immediately, when I remember the first time I did that, it was like 9,000 reasons why I couldn't have everything I wanted shot into my head immediately. And it was like, oh, this is why I'm turning that off. And it really took some practice to even get 10 full seconds of what it feels like to have everything you want. So you really, once you kind of start playing with that, you really notice your body, and you start to notice even where you have the energy held in your body. Because those places will sort of like flinch and clench and act up, and it's like, wow, okay, I really see how everything is really connected here.
You know, that's amazing. We were talking last night about, and we're going to go to love now, we were talking about not being able, some people were talking about not being able to care for themselves and to love themselves, and I was mentioning that I feel that I can tap into a source that I'll call love that makes me feel not alone, totally connected. And I said, some people might think I'm crazy, but I think that that's something that is available to all of us. And I think that's a part of the self-love that you're talking. So can you talk a little bit about how we can attain self-love and what happens, what we do? Because there are so many people who are so self-critical, and I guess we've learned that a lot. But how do they get out of that?
This is where it sounds.
In 10 seconds.
Yeah, well, they choose to get out of it. That's where we go back to making the choice. And a lot of times, you know, it's the thing about there are no victims, only volunteers, and that sounds really harsh when you're in those situations. But believe me, I've been in them, and at the time, it didn't feel like I was being a volunteer. But looking back on it, I go, wow, I really see how that went. But the idea that you're talking about, that love that you tap into, to me, that is the idea of source. That is where we all come from. That is the place that's available to all of us. And I had a momentary field lapse.
That's okay.
Go ahead. Your question was about how do we get back to that?
How do people, when they don't feel self-love, how do they?
Yeah.
How do they get that? And you talked about choice and how it's really a choice.
It really
okay,
is a choice.
So what happens?
You have to start practicing that. You have to really be able to allow yourself to be, because if you won't give it to yourself, no one else will. I mean, that's the honest, you know, that's where we have to start. But if you look at the universe as, like I say, you know, we're all a field existing in a bigger field that exists in a bigger field that exists in a bigger field. So if you start looking at it in terms of energy, as above, so below, it's got to come. If it's coming from without, it's also coming from within. So you've got to, I say in the book, you know, the thing is, I am self-love. And when I say self-love, I have a friend, Dee Wallace, who she says, I am divine love. And when I say the same, I say it in the book that really is the same thing, because you're invoking not who your mind tells you you are, which is usually the thing that gets us in trouble in that situation, because that's the thing that tells us we're not good enough. That's the thing that tells us we're not worthy of love. That's the thing that tells us we've screwed up beyond belief. That's the thing that, you know, has all the negative stuff. When you can step aside from that, and you really do have to make the choice and say, I'm going to put down all of this stuff. It's sort of the metaphysical meaning behind, you know, it's easier, you know, the gates of heaven and the camel and all that. It's like, put down all your junk. It's the rich man that can't get in. It's not because he's got bags of money. It's because he's got bags of stories. And you got to put down those stories and open up to the love that really is there. And so even if it's just for a minute thinking about, you know, a dog licking your face, or if it's about thinking about a baby or just something, we all have that one thing. And you know, so many times if we'll pull it up, we want to go to the emotion of not having it. It's almost like if I go to a baby is going to make me happy, and I pull that image up, with that maybe comes in some sorrow that I don't have a family. Or if I pull up a house that I want, with that comes in the feeling of I don't have that yet, or I'm never going to have that with my job. So you've got to really look at how your mind can twist the things that you're thinking of and that you're feeling, and stop feeling with your mind and start feeling with your heart.
You know, it sounds so simple, but it's really very, very profound. And
so
self-love is about tapping into that whole love consciousness of which we're all a part.
Yes,
there
absolutely.
So much controversy over this whole we're entering ascension. I want to focus on that because that's in the book. A lot of people think that we're rising up, we're going to leave our bodies, we're going to become, we're not going to be in the human form. And in your book, you talk about ascension versus expansion. So can you enlighten us, because I think people need to know that we're not floating away and that we're really here to stay, and what they can glean from your message.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think I even asked the question at one point. It's kind of like, you know, what was the point of this whole 2012? And it was like, well, there's not a point. It's almost like a consciousness marker. It's kind of like how we date, you know, the technological age, and how we date the advent of the steam engine and things like that. And really, it already is 2012. We're already learning all of these things about ourselves. Our minds are already, how like computers, there's a curve where every couple of years they doubled their capacity for information. Well, our energy, our DNA at that level, we're progressing, and the curve is starting to become quicker and quicker and quicker as we move. That's kind of my take on the 2012. Now, in the book, I talk about what ascension really is. And I think what they say in the book is you could replace the term ascension with expansion, because you're not ascending. It's not some ladder that you're going to climb. It's not some up-down hierarchy of, you know, higher versus lower, you know, heaven versus hell, good versus evil. It's essentially an expansion of who you are and an expansion of all that is into even more of what it already is and even more of what it's going to become and even more of what it wants to become. So it's all about exploring potentials and realizing possibilities, but in ways that are much grander than what we currently experience.
So maybe we don't even know the ways that we can and have the ability to expand as we're doing it, and it's really
yes,
about
and already are. And I talk in the book about how, you know, everything. We get into the idea of, you know, yes, we're here in this time and space now, but how everything exists outside of time and space as well as inside of time and space, and how outside, from the perspective of outside time and space, how many, you know, different crazy places within time and space you can be at in any given moment. And so as far as ascension going on, there's really a multitude of ascension processes going on all through this grand scheme that is expanding in and of itself.
You know, I love it. I think that's great. And for those people that were worried, like I said, that they were worried.
Oh yeah, you're not going to float away.
Leaving people behind, right? So I think you've clarified that for us.
Yeah,
now,
and it's also, that's an important topic to just, you know, it's sort of as you believe, so you receive, and I'm not saying
right.
If you believe you're going to float away, you're going to, but if you believe that, you're going to activate a lot of the fear and the potentials to actualize that fear that comes with the belief that you're not safe. So it's really, you know, you're fine. We're not going anywhere. We're not going to float away.
We're
good.
We're getting better.
We're becoming more of who we're expanding,
as you say. So we're becoming more, and whatever that looks like is what we want to create, and it's all beautiful.
Yes,
all right.
And sometimes, you know, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes we perceive it. You know, we have the gift of perception, and sometimes we look at something and go, well, that stinks. I don't like that at all. And then later on, we realize, it's kind of like a relationship. Like, I think most of us have had that relationship from, like, when we were younger, where it was like, oh, this is the one, and then it doesn't end up happening, and we're heartbroken, and then, you know, 10 years later, you know, life is great, and we look back and go, oh my gosh, if that would have happened, that would have been the worst thing. Like, it would have. So, you know, hindsight being what it is, you know, the big picture, we all have foresight and hindsight. And even if it doesn't necessarily look like the best thing at the moment, we're always moving to the expansion of the greater good.
You know, that's interesting, because last night I was talking about what I call within me and other people the observer, that part of me
Yes. That
sort of stands apart and is not judging, because a lot of people in the class were talking about judgment and shoulds and all of that stuff, and I was talking about this observer that really loves you unconditionally, watches you, and if you could tap into that, there's a great sphere of knowledge and self-acceptance that kind of embraces, I believe, self-love, that I think it's important for people to, you know, to get to.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree with that. And I think that's kind of how I began in this journey. It was kind of like I almost, out of just sort of like, you know, being younger and sort of thinking that the reality I was experiencing was, quote, wrong, I kind of sort of separated from that. But in separating from it, I really kind of just stepped back to that observer point and started looking at everything from that point of view. And it gave me a whole different perspective. And then it's like, okay, and you can step back in and experience something and then step back out. And it's like, you can be in something really horrible one minute and then sort of step out and go, I totally see how this is playing out. I see where it's played out in my past. I see how it's playing out in my present. I see how it's playing out in my future. And in the book, I talk about how those are all really the same thing. But,
right.
Yeah, it gives you the power to literally, when you can do that and step out and be in that place and connect into that love, to literally change. It's like painting. It's like you're painting, and it literally, you step back and look at the canvas, and it gives you a whole different perspective, and you're able to go back in and change the colors and add a whole different dimension that wasn't there before. Or was there, you just weren't seeing, yeah.
I love that analogy. That's a beautiful way to see it with painting and colors, because you can change your stuff, whatever
yeah.
that is, that you don't like.
Yeah, I think
so
in the book that's what I was told. It was like, you've been trying to paint a rainbow, but you've been using the color blue. So it's like,
yeah,
if you really want to paint a rainbow, here's the tools vibrationally to bring in those extra colors that, you know, you're not paying attention to.
Well, let's talk about vibration, because I think that's important. And in
yes.
the book, you talk a lot about lack and abundance, and that they are frequencies, and really almost kind of the same frequencies, or they exist together. So,
yes.
And to me, frequency is about energy. So can you talk about that? Because I got a little, I need more clarification, and I think people who are listening will need some clarification as well.
Sure. I think it's in the chapter about the perception of polarity, and I was operating under the assumption, the existence of that there were in fact polarities, and what I was told were, no, it's your perception. There, you perceive polarities, but in reality, everything is, you know, everything is energy. Everything has a beingness. Everything has an isness. But what we've done is we've qualified that isness and said, okay, over here is abundance. Now over here is also energy where I don't see that abundance. As a matter of fact, it appears to be the opposite of that abundance, so there's a lack of that thing. So I'm now going to call that lack of abundance, and I'm going to separate and I'm going to link those two things together. So then what happens is we start to have beliefs that work with this sort of polarity going on, where we say, okay, I want abundance, but if I want abundance, that must mean I don't have abundance, so I'm in lack right now, and it activates the vibration of lack. But in reality, the energy is still the same. It's just the perception that's there. It's like, you know, light is the absence of dark.
Right.
Is that right? Yeah, but in other words,
yeah, but it's not right.
Right. Yeah, okay. But in reality, it's not. So it's those things, the vibrations. If you look at it like that, I talk in the book how if you look at it like a harp, you're playing one string. You say, okay, I'm going to play the perfect sounding G note, and you play it, and what comes out is this horribly flat A minor. And it's kind of like, okay, well, it's playing that because your hands are in the wrong place and your instrument's out of tune. And so what you want to do is tune your instrument. And when you tune your instrument and you can sync up with just the vibration of love, at the observer standpoint, if you want to call it that, there is no polarity in that space. It's only the thing that you call forth. But what happens is our mind is the thing that it splits the energy into two and goes, well, it's this or the lack of this.
Okay, so let's say we all want to create abundance and we all want to create world peace and all that stuff. And so basically what do we need to do? We need to focus on just that sense that of abundance, which incorporates
yeah,
all.
Yeah, because
that.
And what a lot of times what we do, it's like peace is a great example, because if we're focusing on peace, usually what we're trying to do is overcome war. And so if our definition of peace includes eliminating war, we're kind of at war with war, so we're still activating the vibration of war within peace.
So everybody that's talking about a financial deficit.
Yes, no, exactly,
what
yeah.
We need to focus on just that there really is abundance, and there is abundance, and everybody
yeah,
is
Yeah, well, and that actually brings up a whole different energy, which I've been looking at, that we all have, I'm sure, for the last week, at least, of money. And it goes, okay, so money is what we need, and then people go, but I don't want to give you my money. So right there, there's a lack. But if I do give you my money, I want you to do this with it, or I don't want you to do this with it. So really, money is about control, and I don't want you to control me, or I do want you to control me, or I want you to control someone else. So all of these beliefs start to collapse in, and they become a part of what we believe money is. And so when we start talking about money, all of a sudden, all of these other negative sort of chords are being played, and the overall picture becomes this horribly nasty flat note, and people start going, ugh, well, money, debt ceiling, I don't want to deal with that, because it brings in all this other junk that's not really a part of the conversation. So yeah, what we really want to do is go, we have abundance. I trust, you know, I elect fair leaders. I do this, and I know it sounds like a Pollyanna kind of thing, but when you really look at the quantum science of it, that's actually how you create it.
I think that's great. Now, we have about a minute, and I don't want us to suddenly be cut off. So, Jared, how do people get a hold of you and your book?
Email me at everythingenergy@aol.com. The book is available in stores everywhere. If you go to amazon.com, I don't normally do privates. I have a pretty long waiting list, but I've cleared the last 2 weekends of August, or the last 2 weeks of August. So if people order 10 or more copies and forward me the receipt, I will give them a free one-hour session where I'll teach them how to do all this stuff, get over the blocks, all of that. Usually I charge several hundred dollars, and if you do it the Amazon way, it ends up being about $111. So it's a cheap way to spread the word, and then all they have to do is give the books out and keep spreading the energy consciousness.
Jarrett, thank you so much. You've cleared up a lot, and I'm sure you and I could go on for hours, and maybe we'll do that again. Because
I would love
great.
To.
Good, and you have so much to offer people. So really check him out. Check the book out. The book is wonderful. And hopefully we'll talk soon. Have a blessed
day. Thank you so much.
So
you
much.
Too. Bye-bye.
My pleasure. Take care.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.